We left off last Sunday night dealing with the kingdom of heaven being a treasure. And, let me get my right verses. We talked about him being the kingdom of heaven being like a treasure hid in the field, and then we talked about being like a pearl. And verse 47 springs a whole new light. I said this in the beginning. If you'll take to heart what I'm fixing to say, this can make the most difference in your mind of understanding the Bible. That'll give you a concrete foundation that the devil shouldn't be able to talk you out of what you believe. And you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Because they're out there right now. They're waiting to cross paths with somebody that don't know what they're talking about. Or maybe just has just a small amount, Brother Mike, just a small amount of understanding. Jared was telling me today when I was talking to him, I forget the preacher's name now. But anyway, he had preached and he's really trying to help the young people. And young people today are going through things, Brother Donnie, that people like me and Brother Darnell, we might have went through those things, but we just went through it in a different vehicle. And we was fighting the same kind of sin that's mentioned in the Bible. Ain't nothing changed. It's just maybe changed transportation. And a lot of people will think, you know, because this young man has been raised in church and this young man is trying to live for God. And this young lady, she might play an instrument on the platform. And I appreciate all that. I do. I'm telling you, the more you can do for the Lord, the better. I like it. I don't care what it is. Brother Leroy says, and Brother Leroy will be with us Sunday night. I meant to mention that. And if you've never heard him preach, you need to be here. And he'll just encourage you. He's just an exhorter. He's not coming to beat nobody up or scold nobody. He's coming to try to encourage you. And Jared said this preacher was telling about a young girl that was in the church up there. And she's a young teenage girl, fixed to get out of high school, somewhere there's about, and always been good, always been in church, always been involved. And for some reason, one day she walked into her mom and daddy's house, and she gotten a gun from somebody. And she walked into her mom and daddy's house and blew her brains out, just her own self. And they said that the preacher got talking to them, says, something's going on. Something's going on. What? They said, no, preacher. Said she was in church every service. And you saw how she dressed. And you seen who she hung around with. Well, that ain't the whole story. They said, surely she's got some music in her room. Why don't you go in her room and see if you can find out what kind of music she's got? See if you can find a CD maybe of what she'd listened to. And she'd been listening to what was called, it's an oxymoron to me. She'd been listening to what's called a gothic rock. And so this preacher said that, he said, I went back and I looked up every song and read the lyrics to every song that this group sang. And said this song had one message. One name was never mentioned. Are you listening to me? Look up here. Look up here. You can write later. Look up here. I want you to hear this. One name was never mentioned, and the name was Jesus. But over and over and over and over in this music by this group that she listened to so much, all they said, Brother Andrew, I'm a monster. Now, this is supposed to be some kind of Christian music. I'm a monster. I'm a monster. I'm a monster. I'm a monster. That was the gist of every song. Every song had that in it. So he went back to the parents. He says, didn't she love poetry? They said, she wrote poetry. He says, that's what I thought. He said, find me something where she'd been writing her poetry. He said, surely she'd got something in her room. You know what you ought to know? You ought to know what's going on in his room. I know what most young people say. Young people say, that's my room. Daddy better not come in here. Mom better not come here. Son, I'd have kicked the doors down. I made the payments, and I'm still paying the taxes. If I think Nana's doing something wrong there, I'm taking the door off of her hinges. She told Tracy to hit him. I don't understand that way of thinking. You say, but that's their privacy. Their privacy, listen to me. Your children's privacy come when they become adults and buy their own house. Amen. I'm telling you, you give them that kind of privacy, they'll be doing stuff in there they ought not be doing. Every day. They found her book. Her book. What do you call that? Journal? Where she wrote. Every page where she'd written. Every page in that journal said the same thing. I'm a monster. I'm a monster. And a beautiful little 17, 18-year-old girl listened to the wrong, help me right here, to the wrong spirit. Now do you know why I say it's so important for these young folk to be in church? Out there, they said, come on, are you going to church tonight? Get real. Are you serious? You going to church tonight? You can say it like this. I am going to church because I need church. I need to be closer to the Lord. And every time I go to church, God gives me something. If it ain't but one spoonful, that's better than nothing. If it ain't but one piece of meat, one chicken leg, you're going to tell me that if you was hungry and somebody said, I'm just going to give you one chicken leg, you're going to say, oh no, if I can't have the whole chicken quarter, I don't want none. If they give me one leg, I'd eat the meat and the bone. Amen. Amen. I guarantee you, my old teeth ain't like they used to be, but I still give it a try. I'm saying we're living in an hour whenever the times is hard. And adults, these young people need to see some devoted faithfulness in us. Especially in their parents. You know what they need to see in their parents? They need to see a look on their face like, well, I'm glad we're going to church tonight. They don't need to hear that to have that. Y'all hurry, we got to go. You know, Brother Edward be preaching about it if we walk in late. I got a witness tonight. I got a witness here tonight. I have specifically said to many people, if you got to come in late, you come in. I don't care. I'm just happy that you come in. Amen. Because that one chicken leg is better than nothing. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. As we've looked at these texts, we're going to look down again tonight. Verse 47. I'm going to read through 52. The Bible says this again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Say now, I don't understand that, okay? Here it is. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a net. This preaching, this gospel that they're preaching right there, they're told to preach it, put it out there, and you let me take care of dividing everything. All right? Because there's going to be some good stuff in there. If you've ever been fishing at all in your life, you have caught what we call South Georgia trash fish. Something I would not eat. I've caught stuff I don't even want to take off my hook. A friend of mine caught an eel one time in the river up there at down by Brother Sean's Satilla. And I seen that thing come out of the water. Brother Mike, Brother Chris, I ain't an eel fisherman. I mean, I didn't get any kind of freshwater fish. I like saltwater fish, but I ain't eat no eel. And he pulled that thing up out of the water, and it was about that long and about that big around, and I mean flipping around there like a boa constrictor. You hear me? I'm telling you, that boy spun around. Alan Douglas is who done it. And we all know that Alan's crazy. By the time, I mean, I'm not a real fast person, but by the time he pulled it out of the water and he swinging it around to the back of the boat, he said, "How about taking that thing off my line for me?" I said, "No problem." He said, "You just cut my line." I said, "Yeah, get you another one." He said, "I can't believe you cut my line." I said, "I can't believe you thought I was going to take that off." Trash fish. Trash, that's a snake, son. Smooth skin snakes. You see them feel snakes? They killed one of them though at the house he got on my property. On my property. Fair game. Amen. So we see here now, we see that he said that they gathered the good into vessels but cast the bad away. Now, I don't know how it is where you fish at. But where we fished, we was fishing down at the church camp. Well, Okie Finokie, Brother Kevin knows what I'm talking about, Brother Gary. Some of you, I think some of you men's been there. I think you've been there, where Brother Joe and him bought that camp down there. Brother Sean, you've been there a long time back. We was fishing down there. They dug that creek out real good, and they dug it out. And, man, we went down there here a while back, I don't know, latter part of last year or something. And, man, we was tearing the brim up. I mean, you couldn't hardly throw in there good. You'd be caught one. But there was something else biting, too. Mudfish. Now, you want to eat mudfish, you can. I don't care. I've got them on the same list as I do a toadfish. This old trash fish. Here's what we do with mudfish. We catch them, and they was good size. I mean, they was like that, you know, foot and a half long, heavy. And we just catch them and unhook them and make sure they don't get back in the water. You said they'll die. Gotcha. Gotcha. Trash fish. The Lord's going to do some separating one day. He separated the wheat from the tares. And he didn't do it in a way that it was going to uproot them. The wheat, because the wheat's very valuable. He separated the good from the bad here. And this next verse 49, is one of the most, to me, most powerful verses that you're going to read in this whole topic that we're looking at right here. Let's look at it and see what it says. This will help you if you will take to note what's being said. One preacher said this. He said, notice when the Lord is talking to the church, how He uses some of the words that He used, like we and you and us. Talking about the Apostle Paul using this language. But in verse 49, right, He says, so shall it be at the end of the world. So shall what be? There's going to be a separating. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Now, I'm going to flip over here to the book of Isaiah because I'm going to read two verses that you probably, if you don't have them underlined, it wouldn't hurt to. Because you're going to need them because they're in the Bible for you to understand that sometimes things are there that you're not going to understand, but you're going to have to do this so you can understand. Isaiah chapter number 28 and verse number 10, the Bible says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. Verse 13, the Bible says, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. I think if you'll agree with me on this, there's been a lot of times that the Lord's dealt with the Pharisees that He would give them a statement, and they knew that if they answered Him, Brother Jeff, that they would identify themselves as what they really were. He already knew that. But there's the conviction. It's like if Colton was to do something wrong and Mom says, Colton, where were you at last night? And Colton says, well, now, if I tell her where I was at, she's going to think about this. He's going to start adding two and two together and trying to get up. You see what I'm trying to say? And the Pharisees knew that if they answered Him correctly, they would identify Himself. The Lord already knew that. And He knows that with me and you. And we blame everything. I invited a lady to church yesterday. Remember, Jerry rode her motorcycles over to St. Simon's Island. And yesterday morning, and we stopped at a Dunkin' Donuts, and I asked the lady, I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? She said, I am. I said, praise the Lord. I said, where do you go to church at? She said, I don't. I'm like, whoa. I thought you just told me you was a Christian. Now, the Bible says they were first called Christians in the book of Acts. They were first called Christians at Antioch. The reason they were called Christians is because they reminded them people of Christ. All right? They act like Him. They live like Him. They walk like Him. They talk like Him. And you tell somebody you're a Christian, don't go to church. That's an oxymoron. That ain't going to fit. Now, that might pacify you, might satisfy you. But it ain't going to go nowhere with God. Okay? And so we got talking. The more we got talking, you know what she said? She said, where's your church at? You know what it is? I just found out. If you'll just be real with people, if you'll just be real with people, you know what? That's what they're looking for. We're living in a fairy tale world of Christianity. And the fact is, all of us are as wicked and vile as we can be. Somebody please help me right here. You say, Brother Edward, I'm not wicked. I dare say you probably are. I mean, you have wicked thoughts go through your mind. Amen. Your righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. I'm glad, thank God, I'm not dependent upon my righteousness to get me to heaven. I'm going to heaven by the merits of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So you know what that makes me want to do about this? It makes me want to do everything I can for Him. If the Lord said, Edward, three times a day, I want you to get your ladder, climb up on the roof and jump off in the parking lot, Now, I might feel real grieved about that, but if the Lord really told me to do that, I'd question my prayer life. Okay? Okay, I fell off this roof one time. That's right now. That's not what I'm talking about. God ain't going to tell you to do something crazy, but I'm saying He has told Jonah to go down to Nineveh and preach to a bunch of people. He told Jeremiah to preach to Israel. And he said, by the way, Jeremiah, they ain't going to like you. They're going to hate you. They'll want to kill you. Guess where Jeremiah was whenever they dropped down a bunch of rotten rags made into a rope to pull him out? He'd been preaching to the same people God told him to go preach to. And by the way, let me remind you of this here. In the life of Jeremiah, Brother Micah, the whole time he preached, you don't never read about one convert in the ministry of Jeremiah. Now, that would make most of us want to quit right there. But just, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, God didn't put you in here to quit. God didn't put you in here to die. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, it says, and you had to quicken who were dead. He gave us life. He gave us life. He gave us life to live. Now, what you do with it's up to you. If you want to sit there and die, then die. But the only problem with you sitting on a church pew at Camden Baptist Church and dying and thinking you ain't bothering nobody, you're going to sap the life out of somebody else. And then they're going to die. That's what mistletoe does. How many of y'all know what mistletoe is? Anybody? Anybody? Folks nowadays don't know what mistletoe is? All right, let me break it down a little bit. There's some of them, mistletoe grows on these trees. Hey, brother, good to see you. Mistletoe grows on these big, on hardwood trees. For the most part, oaks and what? They grow up there. That stuff grows up there, and them boys used to like to shoot. We used to shoot it down because we couldn't climb up there. And you get that stuff down, and then you know they take it to school. I'm using the right words now. They take it to school, and next thing you know, they hanging it over some girl's head. They want to kiss on them and blah blah blah. Hey, listen, I done told you I was the bashful. So the girl said, "Hey," to me at school. I was like, I go shake it. So it wasn't me. I promise you that. You know what mistletoe does to a tree? It sucks the life out of a tree. You show me a tree that's got mistletoe growing in it, and I'll show you a tree that's dying. Oh, it might live another year. It might live two more years. You know what that girl had in her room, Brother Gary? That gothic music is mistletoe. Those friends that she was hanging around with, the church folk didn't know about, it was mistletoe. I'm telling you, it was just sucking the life out of her until finally she got so discouraged, so depressed, she said, I'm not going to just die. And I know young people don't think about stuff like that. We think. Because all we've got to say, adults, not them, us, me and you, us. Well, here's what we got to say. You need to sit down and be quiet. I was telling Sister Rebecca today at the hospital, had two of the kids up there, the little girl Trinity, and then Noah. Whose class is Noah in? Whose Sunday school class? Noah. Sister Martha's? That boy, I'd have him on down the tap first thing in the morning, last thing at night. He's got the energy. You ain't seen such. I mean, he's up on the wall. I thought he was going to jump out the window, St. Shannon's hospital. I'm just, whoo! I said, son, I'd have some Dimetap in you. I said, it works now. You have Heslin. It don't work. Amen. A little sedatives, all that. All we want to do is sit down. I mean, after we've done what we walk in the house, we just want to sit down. Just sit down. What you going to do? I'm going to go home and sit down. I'm going to go prop my feet up. Well, that ain't one way to prop your feet up. That's sit down. If you can prop your feet up without sitting down, I want to see you do it. Hey, man, I'd like to see that little trick. You know what I found out, Brother Mike? The older a person gets, it makes them plumb mad to see kids with energy. Huh? Mama just had a birthday, and I thank the Lord for that. She's still with me. I thank God for that. I do. I thank God for it. Ashton said there's over there one day. Douglas, little boy there, Ashton's kids there, they out there in the yard. Mama's sitting on the porch. She's sitting down. Just resting. Kids playing in the yard. You kids, get away from that bush. Get away from that tree. Get away from that car. Get off that grass. She ain't said all that. She ain't said all that. She did. She told me to make some grass, but everything else she did say. And you think that'd be something? Bring them in the house. Leave that alone. Get away from that heater. Get away from that TV. Get away from there. She is not the only person like that. Every older person's like that. You know what? I don't want to get next to something in the house that might make me work. I come in there to sit down. I mean, the only thing I'm going to get on, the only thing, Brother Mike, that I'm going to get up for is to go to the kitchen and maybe to the bathroom. Okay? You get old enough, it'll be like a stroll through the park just to get off the couch, go to the bathroom, and come back. You know, you just a little exercise program. Where'd you go to the bathroom? Just a little exercise. It's a challenge in the middle of the night with the lights off, you know. Kick the corner of the bed stand one time, the bed frame. Come out there because, you know, I'm trying to keep the lights off. My wife, she's sleeping, don't want to bother her. Turn the lights off, walk past the bed, plop, you know. Things are getting worse. I'm going to show you something out of this text right here. Verse 49, the Bible says this, so shall it be at the end of the world. That's a very, very common phrase in the book of Matthew. Matter of fact, it's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, the end of the world. Brother Gary, they're interested in the end of the world because the topic, the kingdom of heaven, is going to take place when? All right. So they're wanting to know, Brother Mike, when is the end? 5 times it's mentioned. 4 of these 5 times it's in Matthew. You would think probably somewhere along in the New Testament the other one's mentioned. Right? Most unusual book, Hebrews. Well, there's a reason for that. Hebrews is a book that's taken these Jews right back to where they are in the book of Matthew. Okay? Now, in soon as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's over with, we start in the book of Romans. You would think through the gospel, through the church, to the church epistle, to the books written to the church. Is the end mentioned in all of that? End of the world? No. Because for me and you, there is no end in all of this. For me and you, we're going to be raptured out. There's no end to what? Eternal life. So we see here this question is, and it's mentioned right here in chapter 13, verse 39, and chapter 13, verse 49. And we see that they said, so shall it be, the Lord's telling, at the end of the world. So shall what be? This dividing. This separating of good stuff and bad stuff. Of wheat and tares. Of good fish and bad fish. Of things that just aren't the same. And so as you look at this, you think, here's what he said. The angels shall come forth. Now that's an interesting word in the book of in the New Testament, because God uses these angels. Let me say something about angels. If you're an angelic person, if you really like angels, I just want you to know something. God, we're living in a time when God does not really use angels. In the Old Testament, He used angels. There was people that was fed. Elijah was fed by an angel. There was people that went to Lot and warned him. It was angels. There was people that went to Abraham and told them. It was angels. And it was angels that dealt with men predominantly in the Old Testament, but it don't do like that. It don't happen like that. There is occasions that it is, but predominantly, for the most part, the way the church is dealt with in the New Testament is the Holy Spirit. No need of an angel. Okay? Now, the Lord left. What did He say? He says, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. All right? He's the one that will help you. He'll guide you. The Bible says this. He'll guide you in all things. And I've heard people tell me all the time, I'm not real sure about which way to go. Well, the Bible said He'd guide you. Now, you tell me this. You're on the front row, so you know I'm on. You tell me. I don't know what God wants me to do in my life. How many times have we heard that from men and women and young boys and young girls? I'm not sure what. Well, He said He'd guide you in all things. How come He said He'd guide you and you don't know? I'm going to tell you why. Because we ain't listening to Him. We're listening to me. And you can't listen to me. You can't listen to you. Jeremiah said the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. No wonder some money will say, if the Lord's going to guide me and I don't know where I'm going. I like what Brother Taylor said. What was his name? Brother Gary? Brother Taylor. Milton Taylor. That was here. Faith, fact, or feeling? Remember that? How many of y'all remember that? Faith, fact, or feeling? You know what the fact is? I had faith. Now, if I wake up in the morning, I won't be feeling good. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, my soul will be hurting. In the morning, somebody ain't going to want to get out of bed. Say, why? Don't feel good. Tired. Didn't sleep good. I mean, you know, I worked hard. You just tossed and turned all through the night. You didn't rest well. Just don't feel it. Don't feel like getting up going. But that don't mean I'm not saved. The fact is, He said, if you got the faith and you'll call on God, if you've ever called on Him to save you, I like what one preacher, I heard this one preacher say this the other day, Brother Jeff. He said, you know what? He says, whenever you called on Him to save you, by faith you called on Him, what all did you say? That's the biggest, that is the biggest battle people deal with. I don't know if I said the right thing. Then listen, if you battle that, think it not strange. So I'm worried, did I say the right prayer? Did I say the right? Don't let that beat you up because you're not the only person. Listen, that thief on the cross said, Lord, save me. Lord, remember me. That's all he said. That's it. Now, all these people are saying, well, I thought you got to do this and do this. Listen, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Now, right here, there's going to be a separation. And this separation, the Lord's going to be doing this. And this separation, well, let's look at it. I'm going to be turning to another place here in the Bible right here. This separation here, the angels are going to come forth and sever the wicked from the just. And now this is what you need to get this real close. If you want to take notes in your Bible, this is the place to do it right here. These angels are going to come forth and they're going to sever the wicked from the just. They're taking the wicked out first. That lets you know that's not the rapture of the church. Several reasons. I'm glad you asked why. Number one, the church ain't never mentioned yet. Church ain't been mentioned yet. All right? Now, not only is it not going to be reason, but because of this here, angels is who's taking these folks out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16, the Bible says, the Lord Himself. All right? Now, here's where some folk get turned around. Over in chapter number 24, in chapter number 24, in verse number 31, and He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds. You say, there it is. There's the rapture. No, it ain't. That ain't it. The Lord don't need angels to gather nobody. The Lord's not going to use angels when it comes time for His bride. You know what? Listen, when me and my bride got married, I met her down here at the church house, and I did not send somebody for her. I went and got her, or came and got her. I'm just saying, if you twist it to make it say what you want to say, you're going to have to twist it somewhere else to make that piece of that broke puzzle fit. So right here now, as we see this, in verse number 49, he says, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Now, he's going to cut them loose. And the reason he's got to cut them loose is because they don't want to turn loose. Now, the reason tonight, if you're here tonight, and I'm just saying if you're here, and I don't know. But if you're here tonight, you say, Brother Edward, I'm telling you, I'm just one of these young boys right here. I might say, boy, it's just hard for me to get in. Listen, you won't be the first one that's happened to. But when you see for yourself that it's hard for you to get in, right then, right there, right during that time, why put it off? Why wait? Brother Donnie, if it was you, if you needed to get close to God and you knew you was backslidden, listen, you driving around one of our brothers in the Lord right here in your car and you're backslidden, the Lord might just get tired of your nonsense and say, I think I'm just going to take you home. That's what I'm talking about. And then this boy here ain't no fool. He sees it. We see, well, I'm a Christian at church. I'm a Christian over here. But at the house, I just let my hair down.
Well,
he sees your hair down. See what I'm saying? I'm telling you, the world knows how to get deep into our hearts and into our lives and grab hold. And I'm telling you, we'll just do everything the Bible says this. Listen to me. Look up here. The Bible says he is, I'm talking about the devil, he is a destroyer. That's why that little old girl did what she did. And he might use these examples whenever he comes and next time he comes by here and preaches. He said, there's a boy. Told this preacher, listen up here. He said, as the boy told this preacher, he said, every time he sees preacher, he said, the preacher called him Smiley. He said, Smiley, what you doing? He said, I come by, preacher, I want to see if I could take your daughter out. He said, it ain't happening, Smiley. And said, just kept coming, Brother Gary, and kept coming. Said, one night he finally comes to church. He says, Smiley, you here early tonight? He says, what you here so early for? He said, I come to see if you let me take your daughter out. And he said, no, Smiley. And then he said, no, seriously. He said, I want to come to church early. He said, Smiley, we're going to see a play. And it's called The Judgment. Anybody heard of that? The Judgment? You ever heard of that? But Kevin, he said he went and seen that thing. And said they had that thing set up kind of in the form of a haunted house type thing. We had to walk through all these hallways. I've never been to see one. If you have, you know what? He said, they was walking through. There ain't nobody know who Smiley was. He said, Smiley rounded the corner. He said, somebody stepped out and bowed their finger right in his face and said, if you don't get right tonight, he said, this is your last chance. And he said, that preacher said, man, I'm telling you, he said, the hair stood up on the back of my neck.
He said, Brother Kevin, he said that thing was so real. He said, it scared me so bad. He said, for that boy. He said, little did I know that God had set that man right there to throw that finger out there in that man's face, that boy's face. He said, 2 days later, he said, that boy got killed in a car wreck. Are you listening to me? There's going to come a dividing. There comes a place, Brother Gary, where God says enough's enough. There's going to be a dividing. Listen, the church is, and we can apply this however you want to. The church is going out. We don't have to worry about what Revelation chapter 6 on. Okay? You don't have to worry about all the plagues and all that kind of stuff. You say, I don't believe that. What, the reason you don't believe it is because in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 49, you've got your scripture twisted. Chapter number 24 and verse, 31. Scripture got twisted, and it does not correspond with 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 16. Paul, the apostle, to the Gentile, to the church, he said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. He said, we shall not prevent them. That word prevent means to precede, will not go ahead of them. He said, but we which are alive, we're like him, his state by the grace of God. What? We which are alive and remain shall be caught together to meet the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. There ain't no kind of talk in all of that. You look it up. You dig it. You do turn it into Hebrews and Greeks and Latins and whatever you want to. And it ain't got nothing to do with angels dividing wheat and tares right there. You say, well, what is that then? What is that? That's the division that's going to take place at the end of the tribulation. Bible calls it Armageddon. Oh, what a time. Boy, I wouldn't want to be there. I wouldn't want to be there. He said, Brother Edward, I just want to be right with God. That ought to be our first priority. And I'm not just talking about coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I thank God for anybody that has that kind of a faithfulness to them. And I believe the Lord honors it. But I'm talking about them folk. When you get off out there in that world, I preached a message on this one time. I preached on just say no. Just no. And I'm honest. I'm honest. This day today, Jared, me and him got talking this morning. I was driving down the road. I was going through Jacksonville, Brother Mike. And me and him got talking before I don't even know if I've told you about this morning. Before I ever got to the hospital. I done got down there off Stockton Street. Turned off on, what's that, Bay Street, going down right in front of the hospital. And I was pulling in. Made my left-hand turn and turned right to go for that drive, that parking lot, you know what I'm talking about. And man, the Holy Ghost of God just broke my heart. You know what He broke my heart for? Young people. Young people don't realize. You ain't just an old shoe. You ain't just an old hound dog that wandered up to the house. I like what one preacher said. And I felt kind of the same way. He said, when his first one was born, he said, he's standing there, and he said, that doctor delivered that baby and took that little baby and reached over there and just handed it to him. And he said, here, this is yours. He said, man, I didn't know how to act. Now, that mama, she'd know what to do because she'd been playing baby dolls all her life. The boy's just dumb. Somebody hit. Sister Debbie said amen. they all felt like that, but you don't want to say amen, thank you. Boys has played with baby dolls, too. They, some of you, if I called your name out and asked your sister, they'd say, yeah. But I ain't going to do that. I'm kind, amen. I'm just kind about that stuff. But you know what the truth is? The truth is, that's her responsibility. And Brother Neil's responsibility. And they're going to do everything they can. Everything they know to do
could take care of it. And I'm going to tell you, because you got an oldest one that's in college now, one sitting on the front row over here, and three others. I had to stop and count my head just a moment. And it'll be all you can do to keep them out of the jaws of the devil. Me and him was talking today. Me and this morning, no, it was me and Mr. Buck. Me and Mr. Buck Eddie was talking this morning. And he was telling me about some of the stuff he's seen on the news lately and heard a preacher talking about it. I said, Mr. Buck, I said, did you ever think that you'd live to see the day that America is condoning what it's condoning? I never thought I'd see it. That man up there in that hospital today, he was sitting over from us. He said, what did he say? He seen his first TV about 1954, 55. I didn't know they made TVs at that time. I didn't know they made them. I knew they had electricity, and you could reach up there and pull that cord and turn the light on. I knew that. And I knew they made a fan. Nothing about a TV. What about all that? We were a little bit poor, but was satisfied. We had food to eat. We had food to eat. I got to thinking about that thing, about that Supreme Court issue. Brother Gary, I've heard a lot of preachers say this lately. If God don't do something soon, I'm scared to say stuff like this. God ain't going to do nothing he don't want to do. God don't want to apologize to nobody. He don't never have to. There'll never be a day that God will have to apologize because God ain't never done nothing wrong. That all just kind of sounds, you know. Let me tell you something. Over in the book of Genesis, when them five cities was destroyed, Sodom and Gomorrah being the most talked about, there was only five cities. There was only five cities, Brother Glenn, with this issue. In the Bible, you only read about five cities with this problem that we know of, that's mentioned in the Bible. But now, in the year 2015, we can talk about Miami. We can talk about Atlanta. We can talk about Asheville, North Carolina. What do you know about Asheville, North Carolina? Per capita, one of the largest populations. Am I telling you right? Asheville, North Carolina. Asheville. Greenville. Charlotte. You can go all the way up the coast. Do you see what I'm saying? That was five cities. This is America. Now you tell me something. You think for one minute, listen close to what I'm going to say. You get you some of that Gothic rock or Gothic Christian, whatever it is, or rock or country or whatever you want to listen to. You say, Brother, I listen to that old stuff. I don't recommend it. It's like a, what I call that stuff all again? Mistletoe. It's sucking the Christian life out of you. If you are listening to any of it, I have to watch myself. I could name some black singers. I'm telling you, you'd be going, who? Huh? I'm just going to be honest with you. I like listening to them. And they ain't nobody could sing like the Temptations. I'd like to have a good amen right here by then. Oh, okay. He said I didn't want to reveal myself. Huh? I can name all that crap. But if I listen to it, me and Brother Joe got back yesterday and I said, I need to run by the Honda place. Just I don't want to ask these guys some questions. What's the chance of this all, Brother Leo? We go by the Honda place. I take my helmet off. I get off a motorcycle. I mean, big open door. You probably never in your wildest dream guess who was singing.
Who? Oh, yeah. At first, I didn't even hear him. Brother Joseph, oh, man, listen to that. I'm like, oh. As soon as I heard it, and listen to me, this is what it does. This is exactly what that stuff does. It don't make you be a horrible, mean, bad person because you've done something like this. It'll just make you reflect. I remembered the song, and as soon as the computer went to running right here, I remembered where I heard it. I remembered what was going on. I could see people's faith. You see what I'm saying? But if I could hear somebody preaching, if I could hear somebody preaching on what the prodigal son didn't expect, if I could hear somebody preaching, Brother Eddie White preached a great message, man, up there at Brother Benson's church. Bottle in the smoke. Wow. He's a good preacher. I thought, well, I'd like him to come back here sometimes. Lord knows. So, preacher, what do you think I ought to do? You better have the right foundation. Brother Kevin, I got all ideas. When y'all hire somebody, you tell them this is what we want. And if you'll do this, we're going to get along good. At Rick, He's half man and I think half squirrel. You ain't seen nobody climb a tree like that guy. Wow. I'm saying, I'd like to see him at your house with all the big oak trees. He'd make your yard look like a desert. No, I wouldn't want to do that. But you know what he's constantly doing, whoever's working with him? He said, pull over here, get over there. You know what he's doing? He's trying to save two lives, his and whoever's working down there. Because he knows what he's got to do. As a Christian, you and I know what we've got to do. And if we don't, we ain't going to last as a Christian. We're going to be a casualty. We might not even die. The Lord might not take us home. But we might get to the place where we say, man, I remember when I used to sit there with Colton. I remember when I used to sit up there with Brother Ron. I remember when I used to sit there with Marcus. I remember. And you'll be just like the rich man that slipped off in hell with nothing but memories. That'd be a horrible life, wouldn't it? You ever seen anybody like that? Oh, I've seen them. I know some preachers, Brother Gary. They're casualties, ain't they? Not in verse of my heart. Just casualties. They won't never find nobody that'll have confidence in them. How do you help somebody like that, Brother Ron? I don't know. All I know to do is beg you fellas, stay right there. Stay right there. Am I right? Stay right there. Stay right there. When it hurts, when that preacher preaches on your sin, don't be offended. You knew you was the one sinning. You think I wanted to go to the doctor and hear him tell me I had diabetes? No. But I'm glad he did. So we could get it straightened out. You think that little 17, 18-year-old girl, you think that she's excited about a future of taking insulin shots? No. But Thank the good Lord they found out about it. So they can do something about it and work with it and have the right diet. You think I want an old preacher, an old time preacher, to throw his finger down there in my face and I'm telling you, boy, you better get right with God or you're going to die a miserable death. If you are saved, you're going to die separated out of fellowship with God, out of the church. You think I want to hear that? Leroy Dalrymple, he'll be here. You've heard him. The first time I met him, he walked past me. My hair, but Rick, my hair was down on my shoulders. The beard, my aftershave was Marlboro. I mean, if I'd have put some kind of aftershave on, you couldn't have smelled it for the Marlboro, so I just figured that was it. And I walked by that old man of God, and I walked by him, and my pastor said, "This is my boy." Man, hey, you could just tell he was proud of us in church. That old man of God looked at me and he goes, "Hey." And walked on. I was like, "Whoa. I must have leprosy or something." Can I ask you, why would he have wanted to fellowship with me? He could see me in my unthankful way. He could see me in my unholy way. I don't mind if God ain't no focus on. We've seen the Holy Ghost use him. And you're going to get mad because that preacher preached on your sin? Why don't you grow up? Become a man or a woman. Can't be both at the same time. Let the record show that. But you can become a man or you can become a woman. I shouldn't point at you. You see what I'm saying? That devil's trying to drag him out, Sister Diane. I don't know how long. This lady's, hold your hand up, Sister Diane. I don't know how long. She'd made a profession a long, long time. But here just about a month ago now, sitting in the service one day, she said, "I ain't got it. I ain't trusting what I've said. I'm trusting. I ain't doing. I ain't taking a chance. I ain't taking a chance. I'm not going to take a chance and stand before God when He's separating the wheat and the tares and be cast over there. I ain't taking that chance. I'm just trying to encourage you tonight. You listen to me. There ain't nothing out there. Taryn, there ain't nothing out there. She's a dangerous age right now. All these just graduated, all these young guys, dangerous age. Just graduated this year. Just got jobs. Got jobs. Going to school too. I'll tell you, them hound dogs out there. You better stay on your face. I mean, you better stay on your knees in prayer. You better stay on your knees and pray for that boy right there. He's got something for him. If you think he ain't got something to pull you out there, you're deceived already. Wheat or tares? Wheat or tares? It's your choice. What group are you going to be in when that dividing is made? You say, "I'm going up in the rapture." Praise the Lord. That's wisdom. That's the choice I'd make. But the only way that you're going to do it is to be a Christian. The only way you're going to do it is to be saved. Well, I'm so glad y'all got saved, fellas. I'm telling you. They encourage me. They encourage me. They're going against the odds. They're 18. The world's going. Come out here. Come out here. Come on. Pulling them. Don't let them win. Cut the rope. Cut the string. Turn it off. Separate yourself. Leave that crowd alone. Be sorry one day. Am I the only one that's sorry? See, you know why these kids, the way these kids don't believe? I'm the only one that says that I've made mistakes and I'm sorry. I wish I could turn the hands of time back. I'm going to tell you this and we'll close. I'm finished. My dad wanted to go to Bible school. Listen real close, I'm going to tell you. My dad wanted to go to Bible school. I was in the 11th grade. I begged him. I didn't want him to leave, Brother Garrison. I got one more year of school. I said, if you'll stay, I've told this, love, you know it. I said, if you'll wait 1 year, let me finish school. I'll go with you. I'll work. And what I make, the money I make, because I knew somebody going to school is hard. I said, the money I make, I'll give you. He said, okay, son. You know what I did? I put me up number one. Most important object in all the world was me. Right there when I done that. Number two, I put the gospel, I put his ministry on hold for a year. He had to tell God this. Listen close. He had to tell God this, then. He had to say, God, I can't go right now because my boy is more important than you. You don't think that thing's ate my lunch a million times? You don't think that thing's ate a hole in my heart? A year's worth of ministry for a year, Brother Glenn. You don't think I ain't dwell on that? And I went. And I did exactly what I said. I'd work, and I'd come home, and I'd just hand him my check. I said, well, see, he made it all right. No, it didn't. When he finally went out there, he's out there in Bible school, Brother Mike. He went out there to PBI. Right at end of 1973. And we're sitting in church one night, an old preacher sitting up there. That old preacher says, everybody signed up, they was having a sign up that night. Everybody signed up school. Everybody signed up school. Listen close. This is why you need a pastor. Listen to you. You know what you know about running a church? Nothing. You know why? You ain't a pastor. You ain't a pastor. And I know, and I'm not being sarcastic when I say this, please don't think. But when I say, let's do something like this here, I've done prayed about it. Don't. I better leave that alone. You might not know how to handle that. I sit back there where about halfway back, where about along where Brother Glenn would be sitting up that distance from the church. And all these people are signing up and getting these sign-up sheets. And that preacher stood at the front of the church. And he says, everybody got one of these sheets? Everybody got one? Everybody got one? I'm talking about 17 years old. I could have been safe from getting out there. All right? I'm sitting there, Brother Gary, and the preacher says, everybody got one? Everybody got one? Everybody over here got one? You men over there in the back, y'all got one? You fellas over here, y'all got one? There's so many people that had chairs set out, not at every row, but where they need one. I was sitting in the aisleway. He said, what about you? You got one? He said, yeah, you. You got one? You need one. I said, oh, no, not me. I said, I'm with you. I said this a while back. Samuel heard God speak to him one night. And Samuel didn't pray. But Samuel went to Eli and said, what'd you say? He said, I didn't say that. He said, just go lay back down. And God spoke to Samuel again. And he went to Eli again.
He said, "What did you say?" He said, "I didn't say nothing, but you hear it again." He said, "You say, speak, Lord." Samuel fought God. Sound like the man of God. You know how many people has walked out and never come back with a pastor, with a man of God saying, "Please don't, son. Please don't, man. Please, please don't. Please don't, young lady." I wish I could tell you how many times I've rode down the road weeping and crying, asking God why this one left, why they got out of sin. And I'm telling you, I'm just going to be honest with you, God won't even answer you at a time like that. Because me and you know why. I could have been safe, Brother Michael. I could have had 4 years of free schooling. Free. Oh, I wish I'd had that these past couple of years. I wish I'd had that. Didn't feel like my stomach was in knots and I was crying laying in the bed. You hear me? It cost me for doing wrong. Procrastinated. And then denied my faith. My position. I'm just begging you, church, let's stay close to Him. Let's stay close to Him. Real close. Real close. Brother Darnell, dismiss us in prayer.